Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
1 hour down, hour number two now officially underway. It's the early line, Sirius XM channel 159 radio on the Sports Grid Network. It's Dub Anderson, it's Donnie Wrightside, and we got a lot more hot topics to get to, Dubsy, but let's just check the temperature in the room. Like, the NBA is back in our lives. In just a few weeks, Dubsy, NCAA college basketball. We know hockey is already back. The World Series is going to start Friday night. NFL, college football, everything is melding perfectly here. Gosh, I love the month of October.
And I'm hearing that golf is not too far away from being in the mix, but it truly is prime time for you sports fans. I'm feeling limber, Donnie. The shoulders are coming out. Let's get this thing moving in the right direction. Halfway through the work week, hopefully not halfway through that bankroll. Let's make some dollars.
And nothing says golf like hitting a golf ball into a TV screen that we hope goes one way or another. And maybe you can even bet on that. We'll talk about that a little bit later as golf is on the horizon for us today. But before we get there, we love to talk NFL. And the topics just continue to come in here. The New Orleans Saints season, Dubsy, 2-5, not looking great. Can they win the division? They're going to need a big-time comeback. Can they even make the playoffs? Who knows? But the one thing we do know, Alvin Kamara's bank account is much bigger this morning as he got a two-year, $24.5 million extension to stay with the Saints. And as he says, retire a Saint. Take care of your good players, even in a losing season. The Saints made the right move here. Should have paid him in the offseason. Didn't, but are now paying him now, Dubsy.
Should have paid him in the offseason, and there's been a bit of smoke the last couple of weeks that AK wasn't so happy over there in the Big Easy, but he's put up some vintage numbers, you know, still putting up plenty of production. And for the Saints, who are flying through the first couple of weeks, have sort of gone a little lackluster, but they're always going to need that run game. Alvin Kamara is still one of the best in the business and really hasn't lost that first step there. So I think it's fantastic. Great of the Saints to reward a star weapon that's really served them well over time. Alvin Kamara is still one of the best in the business and very durable there as well. So for the Saints looking to try and turn things around, let's start with setting that table. We get that with the run game. AK looking to go crazy coming in week 8.
I'm not saying we're buying on the New Orleans Saints, but I might be saying I'm buying a little bit on the New Orleans Saints. They're 2-5 on the season, Dubsy. They started the season with two of the most impressive wins you can find. Like, are they actually the best team in the NFC? Could they make a Super Bowl run? Fresh off of 5 straight losses. But how about this, though? Taysom Hill's a big part of that offense. He's going to be coming back. Derek Carr is a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's going to be coming back. Not Spencer Rattler or everybody else you're going to put in there. Chris Olave down with the concussion. He's going to come back. We'll see if Rashid Shaheed does come back at that mold, but also that's a lot of ingredients here in a division that you say, hey, the Falcons are 4-3. They're not that good. Well, Tampa Bay is a good team. They just lost just about their whole entire offense last time we checked them out on primetime Monday Night Football. So I'm not saying buy in on the Saints, but again, maybe there's a little bit of an effort there. And speaking of that division in the NFC South, devastation, tragedy, unbelievable. The wide receiver position now decimated in Tampa. Mike Evans looks like he's going to be back after the week 11 bye after suffering a hamstring injury on top of the hamstring injury that he had from the week before. Terrible news for the Bucs, but Mike Evans, he'll be back this season. It's just a matter of when, and is it too late?
Yeah, tough scenes there for the Bucs. Not so good for Chris Godwin, but Mike Evans, one of the more durable wide receivers that we've seen over the last decade. And for the Buccaneers, sitting at 4-3, getting set to take on the Falcons after that bad beat from the Ravens. They're going to need their star number one wide receiver back in the mix. I'll tell you what, they looked really strong early through the season here, considering that they're still sitting there at 4-3, a lot on the line. They got to keep chalking them up. NFC South still looks to be very, very competitive, but Mike Evans, one of the best in the business, needs to get back out there. They need him at full health for Baker Mayfield, who's putting together, one would say, career best numbers, but he certainly needs at least one of his two wide receivers in the mix if they want to keep things moving in the right direction. But this is a great matchup coming up against the Falcons.
Mike Evans, through those seven games, 26 catches for 335 yards and 6 touchdowns. The reason I bring that up is, let's just say he comes back in week 11. And what does that leave him? 5-6 games, basically, to come back and try to get it together. 1,000-yard season, which he does every single year. He needs 665 yards, possibly over the final 6 or so games of the season. I don't know if he's going to be able to get there and if he's going to be healthy, but the one thing I do know is they might force feed him the football if that's close. Just some betting knowledge to try to take a look at a little bit later in the season when Mike Evans does return. Other wide receivers, Deebo Samuel, San Francisco 49ers, struggled with a wrist injury the week before, cleared to play last Sunday, going up against in that primetime 4 o'clock slot against the Kansas City Chiefs, came to the stadium under the weather. Turns out Dubsy had pneumonia, had to get checked into the hospital, fluid in his lung. He has been released, but no timeline on coming back. I'm not so sure he's going to play this week, but he should be back sooner than later. And that wide receiving core that's now lost Brandon Ayuk, they really need him to get back sooner than later.
What is going on? You look at the numbers. They're still laying 4.5 coming in here to take on the Dallas Cowboys. For the 49ers, they are missing a lot of weapons. So for Deebo, not great news. Brandon Ayuk, he's set to miss the season there. And CMC run Christian McCaffrey, they're trying to get back after that bye week. But for the 49ers, I mean, things go from bad to worse. But I guess things are moving in the right direction. Pneumonia, don't you? Getting that infection in the lungs, that is not something you want to be dealing with. Your boy's gone through it. I legit thought I was having a heart attack when I got pneumonia. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on? So trying to play in the National Football League, that's another step up yet again. But for the 49ers, they can only go as far as they can get healthy. And right now, being a 3-4 team, they look exactly like that.
They do look exactly like that. And that's the next question I'm going to ask you quickly here. You look at the NFC West standings. The Seahawks are 4-3 in first place. The Cardinals at 3-4 in second place due to a tiebreaker because they beat the 49ers, who also sit in 3-4, and then the Rams at 2-4. I don't want to say buyers is the right word on the 49ers for you, Dubsy, but moving forward, like for me, it's hard to say I'm in because Brock Purdy not playing that great of football. They're just so injured. And the one thing we know about the NFL, just because you get injured early in the season doesn't mean you get healthier. Those injuries sometimes compile as you go later in the season. What are your thoughts on the 49ers moving forward? Because to me, no longer the best team in the NFC. No longer for me do I think they can actually win the NFC, and also making the playoffs now looks a little bit in peril. It's crazy.
Yeah, it really does, Donnie. I'm selling stock at this point. And the fact that, they're laying points going against the Dallas Cowboys, I think the Cowboys are going to be the dog of the week for me coming in to week 8. You know, health, injury, good fortune, the good rub, if you will, at this point of the season, you really don't have to be dealing with that. You're trying to figure out, chemistry, cohesion, trying to figure out the 1-2 punch. But for the 49ers, it has been a terrible start to the year. And I just don't see how they turn things around. They're looking to get their weapons back in the mix, but I mean, you bring Christian McCaffrey back in week 10, there's obviously going to be some rust there. Is he going to have that production? Are they going to give him the amount of totes that we'll see in the back end of last season? Probably not. And if you lose this one, you're sitting at 3-5, and suddenly it's getting late pretty early here in the National Football League for the 49ers in what looks to be a very competitive division. For the Cardinals, it's not like I'm sort of buying in on them to make a bit of a charge, but nothing would surprise me with the way Kyler Murray plays. And for Seattle, the Seahawks, they've been pretty strong at this point. They're going to be a very tough out. I just don't see them giving up a lot of that margin. So amongst the division, Seattle continue to soar. I think the 49ers are right up against it, especially if they can't get it done going against the Cowboys this week. If they were to drop another one, I think that's all it for their season done.
Getting laid early also applies to the Carolina Panthers at 1-6 on the season. You're out with your family, Dubsy, on a day off. You got the dog in the car. You got the kids in the car, the wife and yourself. Automobile accident. Thank goodness it wasn't a devastating one here, but he is being evaluated. This might be the time to go back to Bryce Young on offense, but boy, oh boy, it's crazy to see how, you know, bad, to say the least, the Carolina Panthers season has been, and it could get worse. Tough times down in Carolina.
It really is. And, you know, where do you go from here? Bryce Young, he was, you know, the scapegoat there. Andy Dalton in a bit of a car crash, not something you want to see. But in terms of trying to take that step forward, you know what you get with Andy Dalton. You know what you're going to get with Bryce Young. Sell the farm, take a couple of bad beats, move on to the next one. It's tough being a Panthers fan, Donnie. Not that I am, but it's not a great outlook.
You say sell the farm with the Panthers. Do they have any farm to sell? That team stinks up and down. Dolphins next. Keep the dial right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We cover the board here on the early line, no doubt about it. You want NFL talk, we got you. You want NBA talk, we got you. And also PGA talk, absolutely. It's Donnie Wrightside, it's Stubbs Anderson, and our resident PGA pro writer on the network, it's Keith Stewart. Keith, how are we doing this fine Wednesday morning?
Donnie, I'm doing fantastic. My Rangers have 5 wins. The Yanks are in the World Series. They're about to punish the Dodgers. No offense, Dubsy, but man. Come on, the evil empire is coming. So I am feeling great. And the PGA Tour has a signature event for us all the way over in Japan. What could be better?
How about that? Let's get started right away because it is nice here. There's sort of a lull right in the PGA Tour that we hit, but then we take a look at the odds board at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Keith. I'm seeing some recognizable faces on the tour. So let's get it started. The Zozo Championship this week from Japan, as you stated, a par 70, 7,000-yard course. The previous winner was Colin Morikawa. He's back in the field this week. What are the anticipations of the golf course first, Keith, and how that lays out for us?
I tell you what, this golf course has been a really unique test over the years. This is now the 6th edition. We did have a pandemic year where we did it in the U.S., but the other 4 editions have been at the same golf course, Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club, par 70, and it rolls with the hills. It's just a little bit east of Tokyo, downtown there. Just a fantastic 36-hole facility, and it really tests this, guys, from a ball-striking perspective. You've got 5 par 3s on the scorecard, so it's kind of unique in that way. And you're also going to see when you turn on the coverage, each hole has 2 greens. One has Bermuda grass and one has bent grass. And this is kind of a custom over there in Japan, but it gives it a very unique view. And it just kind of really emphasizes the target approach that's necessary in order to play well here. One of the keys that I really love about this place is that as a par 70, you've got 10 par 4s. And they're very unique. They're almost bipolar in a lot of ways. There's 5 of them that are real short, under 425 yards, and there's 5 of them that are over 480 yards. That's an easy key right there, that if you got a guy that's really good at par 4 scoring, that's something I anticipate that will separate the field.
So how do we use that to our advantage, Keith? I feel like it's always the big names getting the score here at the Zozo. It was Colin Morikawa last year. It's Xander Schauffele at the top of the odds board at plus 450. Is it a matter of playing the big names in a week like this for the Zozo Championship?
I can't go there on the short odds with these guys. Now, I think all 3 of them, the big guys at the top of the board, they've played in all 5 Zozos. So they're really committed to this event. You know, Xander has Japanese family. Of course, Hideki lives over there, and Colin is your defending champion. But they haven't played since the President's Cup. And with that time off, and they haven't played a stroke play event since the Tour Championship about 2 months ago, I think there's an opportunity to get after these guys. Now, do I think that they'll all be involved early Sunday morning on Japanese time, you know, on the leaderboard with 9 holes to go? Definitely 2 of the 3 will be there. But I think there's some better value down the board. Some of these middle-tier guys that have been playing a bunch this fall and have shown that they can really, really strike their golf ball. I mean, that's the key around this place. Look at the past champions, Hideki, Keegan, and, of course, Colin Morikawa. These guys aren't known as flat stick aficionados, right? These guys aren't putters. These guys are ball strikers. These guys are scramblers. These guys can get the job done. You know, they're all major champions. So that's the level of ball striking that we're looking for as you go around this place. 73 bunkers, five holes with water in play. You've got these tree-lined fairways and this rolling terrain. The guys are going to climb like over 230 feet in elevation across 18 holes in 5 miles. I mean, you really got to keep the ball in play. And if you do that, like a Captain Keegan or a Hideki, you could totally contend with these guys. And guess what? There's a couple guys out there right now with some names that we know that can do that.
Let's do it right now, Keith, because I got a topic I want to ask you before we get you out of here today, too. But if we are looking at primetime golf, tee time, 7:45 p.m., it's in the primetime, baby. So how about some early leans on the early lines that we can look forward to here for the Zozo?
So as I was alluding to there, Donnie, there's a couple guys that we've seen over the last few weeks of this fall FedEx Cup series. The first guy, Kurt Kitayama. Yeah, I know he's not a household name, but guess what? Out on the PGA Tour, this guy has won a signature event. He won the API at Bay Hill a couple of years ago, and he is an impeccable ball striker. I mean, it's probably second to Xander in this field as far as the statistics goes. He's got two starts in the fall, and each of them, he gained over 12 strokes on the field tee to green. Now, the putter, it's a little bit of an issue, but guess what? The guys that win here, they tend not to be. I mean, it's almost team no putt. So I think that Kurt can get the job done. He started the week at plus 3,500. He's already dropped down to plus 2,500. So I'm not the only one thinking this. In two trips to the Zozo, he's got two top 30 finishes. The second guy, the golf gods love a great narrative. And Gary Woodland is officially, you know, cementing his comeback from his brain surgery last year. He had a top 10 at the Shriners. It was his first top 10 since he went away. And I tell you what, Gary is another guy that has played well before on this golf course. He's got a top five. But what's really interesting about Gary is that the ball striking is now, you know, in a position where with a little bit of putting help, which he had at the Shriners last week, he gained almost four strokes with his putter. And in talking to people in his camp, he's changed his practice methods and he's put a different practice putter in play. And that's really helped him see the line better and putt better. And it showed up at the Shriners. If Gary putts like that, the way he's been ball striking it over his last five events, he will absolutely be in contention. And at plus 8,000, it's a huge number and a wonderful long shot in a short field of 78 players over 72 holes.
Paying it off, baby. Love to see it right now. And also, talking about paying off, reading the line, the Smiley Show. Give us some details. What are we talking about here for Read the Line? Making other appearances on the network? We love this, Keith.
Well, I tell you what, Donnie, the guys called me up, Charlie and Smiley, and they said, hey, the fall is a perfect time to talk about how to bet on golf. So we do a little education. We do a little preview of next year. And of course, we have lots of fun. I mean, with Smiley and the happy hour and everyone that knows about him over there, you know, on TV and his podcast that follow him, we just had a really, really cool conversation about betting on golf, which obviously is my passion. And I appreciate you guys always having me as well. But get it across the grid, baby. Golf Wednesdays, oh, it's a thing.
Oh, it's fantastic stuff as we get. Now, I'm not even going to burn this next topic here because we only have you for a couple more seconds here. But next time you come on next week, we're talking TGL because I need to know about the Atlanta Drive, the Boston Common, the Jupiter Links Golf Club, L.A., New York, and the Bay. Some say it's the off-season of golf season. It's never the off-season here on the Sports Grid Network with Keith Stewart, our resident PGA professional. Keith, thanks for the time today.
Absolutely. Mark your calendars, Donnie. The day after the NFL championship game, Rory versus Tiger, TGL.
Oh, it's Mark, no doubt about it. Of course, it will be Mark with your boy DRS. We'll be right back. More hot topics next. Don't turn the dial.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This show is called The Early Line. We love to look at the betting markets. We love to take a look at the futures. We look at it in every sport. And now it seems like with the trade deadline coming up in about 2 weeks, NFL teams are starting to say yes and no if we will be contenders or not, Dubsy. You saw a couple trades already go down for wide receivers. One just went down this morning. We also previewed, is Cooper Kupp going to be on the move? And I guarantee you this, Dubsy, they lose Thursday night. Talking about the Rams, he is going to be on the move and other changes will be made to the Rams. So let's reassess the market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook with who we think can win it. The Kansas City Chiefs in first place right now in the odds market at a plus 430 number. The Baltimore Ravens at a plus 550. The first team that appears in the NFC, that's the Detroit Lions at a plus 750. The Niners still sitting at a plus 850 price. Those are the teams that are under 10-1. So I'm going to start with you first, Dubsy. Top of the leaderboard, the Chiefs. Do they deserve to be favorites to win the NFL championship?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And the odds makers factor in it that they have won the last two. You've got one of the best quarterbacks in the business. Patty Mahomes is not trying to celebrate in terms of the stats that he's putting up on a Sunday afternoon. They're trying to measure that win column, and they have looked fantastic here in trying in search of that third consecutive Lombardi. But I do think the best team in football right now is the Baltimore Ravens at plus 550. Mm-hmm. That 1-2 punch. Yep. Of MVP, Lamborghini, Lamar Jackson, Action Jackson. Ooh. Spreading the field with King Henry. I mean, King Henry's been an absolute monster, turning the clock back to vintage numbers there, and it's really tough to contain. So I think the odds makers are spot on. You've got to put a bit of respect on that class factor that the Kansas City Chiefs, Spags, and Andy Reid bring into this one in week 8 of where we currently stand. But for me, best team in football right now, I would say, is the Baltimore Ravens. If they were to meet coming into week 8 and we were to build up a mock line, I think they would have to be favorites if it was back in their building. I know it didn't go that way opening night, but Baltimore Ravens, very impressive, and they look to be flying with a bit of momentum from what we have seen.
Lamborghini Lamar. Ooh, might have to take that phrase from you here, Dubsy. We've talked ad nauseum over the times that we've talked, hosting the show, having some fun. The San Francisco 49ers at a plus 850 price. Like, I understand the Chiefs, I understand the Ravens, and I agree with you. The Ravens, for me, are the best team in the AFC. I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC. But the San Francisco 49ers still being priced at 850. Look, we understand that Christian McCaffrey might be coming back, let's just say, in the next couple weeks here. But they're not going to get better at wide receiver than Brandon Ayuk, right? And also, injuries do not stop from happening. This team is under 500 for a reason. We're not making the same excuses here for the Kansas City Chiefs, who lost basically their entire wide receiving core and still sit here unbeaten on the season and beat the 49ers. I'm still surprised that I see at FanDuel right now, Dubsy, a plus 850 on the 49ers. That seems a little too rich for my blood.
Yeah, and look at the record. That's exactly who they yep. are. 3-4 for a very good yep. reason. You look at the next 5 weeks, it doesn't get any easier. 3 of the next 5, they're going to be going on the road. It includes taking on the Cowboys this week. Then it's the Bucs going over there in Tampa Bay. You've got the Packers and the Bills there a few weeks from now. So it is a really tough outlook for the 49ers and how quickly the fortunes can turn. We were coming in to this season saying that is the best roster in football. A couple of key injuries, a couple of big concerns. And for Brock Purdy, he's trying to play a little catch-up football. They just don't have the pieces to build off and try and turn their year around. I'm not seeing it. Plus 850, far too short for me. I think the odds makers are off on this one.
Boy, I think we have some great parity here, and certainly with the FanDuel Sportsbook lining up some of these outright betting markets here. Let's look at those brackets between, let's just say, 10-1 and 20-1. Some really good football teams and value. The Buffalo Bills at an 11-1 price. Trade for Amari Cooper, absolutely destroyed on the football field last week against the Tennessee Titans. It looked like they're breaking up the band at this point. The Houston Texans did lose last week in close fashion to Green Bay, 13-1. The Minnesota Vikings took their first loss of the season, 17-1, followed by two other teams at 17-1, the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. Of that bunch here, I'm excited for all of these teams, legitimate. Now, for my Eagles, maybe more of a rooting interest, but I love the Bills. I think the Titans have a high upside, and the Green Bay Packers just scratching the surface for me of what they can do, Dubsy.
Yeah, I'd be buying in on the Buffalo Bills. I think they have looked fantastic. I think it was a great addition, a great pickup in Amari Cooper. I think they've got the weapons in Shakir and Coleman who can continue to build a bit of chemistry and confidence going through a very long and vigorous season. And James Cook has been sensational there at running back. If you want to correlate this one, I think Josh Allen is absolutely live in that MVP market. Lamar Jackson, he's getting too short for me. So I think the Bills continue to surge in this one. Josh Allen, he is having an MVP type season. I think they've got all the pieces in place to make a really good tilt at this thing.
I'm just going to leave this here before we head to commercial break. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go. 44-1. Get out of town. More NFL talk. It's Stubbs and Stani right here on a Wednesday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm getting more energized by the minute right here on the early line. SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. So many ways to watch and listen here. You're missing out if you're not doing that here. It's Dubs, it's Donnie, and as we continue to talk about the NFL, we just talked about some teams that we think have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. Parity at its finest, and sometimes it's just a war of attrition, Dubsy. Can you just stay healthy? And we can also equate that to the next market we're going to look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and that's the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, and it seems like right now, it's a two-horse race. It's Jaden Daniels as a slight favorite at minus 115. It's Caleb Williams closing fast at a plus 100. Looking at the game this weekend, it's a head-to-head matchup. Or is it? Because it looks like Jaden Daniels, to me, probably not going to play. Whenever a coach gives you the designation of day-to-day, you're worried about them playing this weekend. If he gives you the designation of week-to-week, you won't be playing this weekend. And Jaden Daniels' rib injury looks like it's week-to-week here. Let's just start at the top right now. Both of these quarterbacks really playing good football. Daniels and Caleb Williams. Do you agree right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Dubsy, that Jaden Daniels should be the favorite at a minus 115 price over a plus 100 price of Caleb Williams?
Absolutely. He's been fantastic. He's done more for the Commanders than King Caleb has done for the Bears. They're sitting at 5-2. Perfect home record there as well. 1,400 passing yards, 6 tutties with only the 2 interceptions. So he's been playing some really efficient football and has been accurate downfield. Obviously dealing with that rib injury coming in here for week 8. We flexed this game. We wanted to see the two fantastic rookie quarterbacks squaring up. But for me, Daniels has been the better of the two, only slightly there, minus 115. I guess the odds makers are telling us the same thing there as well. You'd love to see him out the mix there for the Commanders. But yes, I would say Daniels has been the better of the two, but only just there, Donnie, only just.
Yeah, Caleb Williams really starting to shine on the field. Sometimes it takes a game or two for some of these rookies to get going, but also, as I always bring back last year, like C.J. Stroud really cracked the mold of a rookie quarterback coming into the NFL and excelling in both of those kids. And I call them kids, Daniels and Williams. They've looked sensational in their own part, and their team's above 500 here with both chances to make the playoffs. I love to see it. But let's take a look a little bit down the board here. Malik Nabers was injured with a concussion, comes back against the Eagles, doesn't do much. He's at a 16-1 price. Brian Thomas has been a very good wide receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars, 20-1. Brock Bowers, one of the main, certainly already a top 5 tight end in the NFL, he's 31-1. Not necessarily of those players, but is there anybody else that you would bring into the tent with a legitimate chance, Dubsy, to win that Offensive Rookie of the Year this year for you?
I would entertain Brian Thomas Jr. there with the Jags. Obviously, mm-hmm. Jacksonville have not been playing good football, but he has been seeing a lot of targets, a lot of receptions, and we know Trevor Lawrence, when he can figure things out, and for Jacksonville, that offense, when it is moving in the right direction, he could put up some filthy numbers there. The LSU product standing at a monster 6'4". He's got the speed, he's got the athleticism, and on a team that really doesn't have that standout wide receiver, I think Brian Thomas has been absolutely fantastic. So if you're looking for a little sprinkle play, long shot, I think that's where I would look. And what would have to go in favor, obviously, these young quarterbacks would have to go miss a couple of games in the back half of the season, but there's a really good chance of that as well, especially with both teams being right in the hunt of playing playoff football. These young guys, they're going to put their bodies on the line, and with that comes that risk of injury. So for Brian Thomas Jr., I think he's still got a chance to make a bit of an inroad in this odds board, and that's who I'd take as the fly there, Donnie. But I do think it probably will be a two-horse race once it's all said and done. Yeah. Caleb Williams, Daniels, they've both been fantastic. And what a hit this has been for the NFL. I feel like we're spoiled. Yes. We usually don't see these rookies smashing out the gates, and this year we've got two of them.
The NFL is a much better league with young, healthy, talented quarterbacks moving forward. And as you said, puts the NFL in some good hands over the – looks like pick number one and pick number two the year previous. Like, ooh, man, there's a difference between Bryce Young coming out here and certainly C.J. Stroud. But now you flip it over to this year, 1-2, man, you could move them back. One goes 2, one goes 1. Both of those organizations certainly very happy with their selections. But let's flip it over here to the NFL regular season MVP. Lamar Jackson has 2 of them. Lamar Jackson is absolutely skyrocketed over the past, 72 hours to a week last week when it was Patrick Mahomes. He didn't have great statistics, but his team was just winning football games. We were waiting to see if somebody would take the bull by the horns and say, you know what? My football team's going to start winning, and I'm going to start putting up big numbers. Lamar Jackson on Monday Night Football against Tampa Bay, 5 touchdown passes. He now sits at a plus 195 on the season to win his third MVP. Dubsy, let's start right there. Lamar, ready to take on that rocket ship. He's now the leader in the clubhouse. Do we agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely. In search of a third MVP in his sixth season, truly special stuff. He's putting Baltimore on his back right now. They've got that 1-2 punch with Derrick Henry and a really scary offense in trying to go against. And plus 195, that number is far too short. For Patrick Mahomes, a plus 470, I'm not going near that number. For Patty Mahomes, the only stat that he is concerned about is that win column. So I think that's probably going to hurt his chances. I'd be looking towards the next two in line. Josh Allen, now that he's got a star number one wide receiver in Amari Cooper, if the Bills stay relevant in their playoff chances, it's going to be thanks in big part to Josh Allen and everything he's doing out there on the gridiron. And for Detroit, Jared Goff, he is having a career best season. The numbers he is putting up, the efficiency that we're seeing with his football, that maturity in the pocket, I think that's where the value lies on this board. You cannot touch Lamar Jackson at plus 195. This is a market that's going to be in flux going through the next month here. And I think Allen and Goff make sense as the price plays.
I'm telling you, it's a quarterback award. It really is, because you're looking at the first, dozen or so players, all quarterbacks here. Lamar Jackson absolutely in front and center right here at the quarterback market, because Patrick Mahomes, we understand he might go down as the best quarterback to ever play football, but the statistics aren't there this year. Yes, they're winning football games, more defense than offense, but when you look at Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, that team is absolutely on it right now. And a big deal of Lamar Jackson, of course, with his legs and his arm, and then Derrick Henry as well, which I'm going to get to in just a few moments. Mahomes at plus 470, Allen at plus 650, Jared Goff at 7-1, Jordan Love at 12-1, Joe Burrow 14-1 at this point here. And then you get down the list with other quarterbacks that are lying in wait. Now, when you start to get to some positional players, they're having sensational seasons. Derrick Henry to win the MVP, he's 50-1 right now. Saquon Barkley to win the MVP, he's 80-1 right now. They are severe long shots. Like, if Christian McCaffrey can't come up from last year and win the MVP, or if you're looking at somebody else, do we think that it's possible in any way, shape, or form, Dubsy, that we see one of these running backs, whether it be Henry or Barkley, creep higher in the standings, and by the time we reevaluate this in December, 20-1 or less, or no? It's just the quarterbacks. They're going to run away from this thing.
It's going to quarterback, Donnie. It's a done deal. If I was going to entertain any running back flying up this board, King Henry, if he continues to stuff the numbers that we've been seeing there, what's he lead the league in carries, in rush yards, 873 once it's all said and done there already coming into week 8. So Derrick Henry, he's been absolutely monster with 8 touchdowns to match, but I just don't think it's going to be there once it's all said and done. And for the running backs, you know, they're getting beat up week in, week out, and he's trying to split that workload with Lamar Jackson, who's always going to take that shine. If the Ravens are in the mix, you're going to look at the quarterback more so than the running back, despite both of them being fantastic and standouts from what we have seen at this point of the season. So I'd lean towards the quarterbacks getting it done. Derrick Henry maybe as a bit of a market mover, if you will, but I just don't think he's got that in his reach.
And by the way, you look at Jared Goff, only a 7-1 price, and rightfully so. I still think he's a little bit disrespected because of, he's got great wide receivers and a great offensive line and a great tight end and 2 great running backs here. He has been nothing short of absolutely spectacular. And I talk about so many times, Dubs, in these type of markets, the extracurriculars that you get. If Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions end up winning the NFC's best record and get that number one seed here, he's definitely going to be a factor. Same thing with Patrick Mahomes. If Mahomes ends the season at, 16-1, but doesn't have the statistics of Lamar Jackson, could he overtake him at this point? So many things to talk about, but I'm going to talk about one more as we head into break. Come on, Steeler backers, where are you at? 400-1 for Russell Wilson to be the MVP this season, Dubs. A simple $5 wager at the FanDuel Sportsbook pays back $2,000. Right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I feel like I haven't watched a Major League Baseball game, Dubsy, since last March at this point. The long layoff for the World Series, but we're going to get what we bargained for. Because on Friday night, when we watch the New York Yankees take on the Los Angeles Dodgers, the nation will be watching, and rightfully so. Two superstar-laden, talented, high-payroll teams. One in Los Angeles, West Coast. One in New York City, East Coast here. I'm excited for this series, Dubsy. Let's start there. The excitement for the series. Two titans, two iconic franchises lining up with the World Series championship on the line.
And not to take away from what we saw last season, but it's sort of underwhelmed. So I think this is a fantastic bounce back for Major League Baseball. It could be historic in terms of the viewership and the numbers dialing in for this one. I do think we've got the two best teams in baseball. The Dodgers leading the National League with 98 wins. What for the old Pinstripes putting up 94 wins there, respectively. In terms of offense, I mean, superstars all across, absolutely littered with star power for this one. Otani taking on Judge. That's the big storyline. You look at some of the other, second and third punches that we're going to see, the likes of a Mookie Betts, a Juan Soto. Could this be the hurrah that he needs to make that tilt towards a World Series? It's going to be fantastic, but I do think a lot of bettors, a lot of fans, you know, queuing up to talk about the offensive side of things, but it's going to come down to the starting arms. I think that's going to be the difference maker, and as the odds makers are telling us, it is going to be a very close series. I just want it to go the distance, Donnie. I want it to go the distance. I think we can still chase a couple of prices, and the Dodgers are set to take it there, minus 122.
Still a few days before this series gets underway, so let's start there as the graphic shows. The Los Angeles Dodgers, a minus 122 favorite to win the World Series. The Yankees are a plus money price at plus 104. Throughout the season, we sort of saw this coming, at least for me. Entering into the playoffs, I did think the Phillies were best equipped to win the National League and get to the World Series. Well, the best team doesn't always win, or even what you think is going to win at that point. They couldn't hit. Forget about what their pitching was doing. But once the Phillies were eliminated, it seemed like you were on a collision course, because also in the American League, the New York Yankees' plan to get to the World Series was not interrupted by saying, oh boy, look at the next round. Oh boy, look at the next round. Boy, the LCS is going to be tough. No, they actually had a very easy path and handled their business, which a lot of teams in the past have had clear paths to win a World Championship or a World Series and haven't even got to the World Series. The Yankees did that. So Dubsy, in my mind, I agree. I think the price point is correct here. A slight favorite to the Dodgers in this series.
Yeah, and for the Dodgers, they had plenty of momentum. You know, is it going to be rust versus rest off that five-day layoff? But you look at the likes of a Freddie Freeman, who's just been lacking that power, gives him a bit of a chance to get things going in the right direction. And minus 122, I like the number. Obviously, I'm going to have to lean towards my Dodgers out here on the West Coast. But in terms of the starting arms, they're going to be up against it. You know, a bit of a different approach there from both sides. Obviously, the Yankees are going to have that the starters and the firepower. But for what we're going to see, Jack Flaherty getting the nod there to toe the slab in game one for the Dodgers. Really going to have to get them off to a fast start, because you look at who's going to come after that. It's Yamamoto and likely a couple of bullpen games. So the Dodgers, really important that they get off to a flying start. Can they keep that offensive momentum that we've seen going through the last couple of weeks off a few days off that layoff? Time will tell. We'll see on Friday night.
How long this series goes, because I'm not directly a fan of the New York Yankees or the Dodgers. I do like them both being in the World Series, because there's a lot of fun betting markets that we can certainly dip our toes into. But if I'm saying to myself, is this going to end early in a sweep? I'm not so sure of that. Five games, no. I do think this series is headed for at least games six or a game seven. So you look at the heavy juice price at a minus 180 to the over on the series at 5.5, or the under at plus 145. Dubsy, series long prices here. We in it to win it for the marathon, or could this be a lot shorter in your book?
We're going the distance. Give me the overs, overs, overs. I want to see this thing go the duration here, Donnie. And why wouldn't we? You know, we've got so much offensive star power with that. Both teams are absolutely going to be live. It doesn't matter, how they get off in terms of a bit of a slow start there. So I think we see plenty of games. I want to see it go the full distance. I want to see the Dodgers get that score. But no, I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I don't think it's going to be a done deal. I just don't think there's much separation between these two sides. And the odds are telling us it looks to be a very, very close arm wrestle. And I think it'll play out that way.
If we look at the spread in the series, the Yankees getting a game and a half, once again, heavily juiced at a minus 190 price. So if you have the Yanks and they're up 4-2, or they win the series 4-2, great. But if they can just force a game seven, you'd be able to cash in that ticket. So let's take a look at the markets here with the series correct score odds. If you think it is going to be a sweep, it's pretty close, and certainly it should be, because the Dodgers are minus 122 price to win the series alone. A 4-0 series sweep, 12-1 price on the Dodgers. A 4-0 series sweep for the Yankees, that's at 13-1. 4-1 for the Dodgers, 6-1. 4-1 for the Yankees, 6-1. I love this here because we don't have a decided favorite, Dubsy. And I'm not saying it's a coin flip because you have the Dodgers at a minus 122 price. But if you can pick which side you like and which game you like it, that's some big money in your pocket right here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can find a couple of positions. If you can't decide, you know, what side's going to get it, take a little nibble there with each. 4-3 for the Dodgers, 4-3 for the Yankees, and you're getting right around plus 470 respectively. I think it's a great little market, a lot of different ways to jump in there. So for me, let's bank on the longevity of this series. And it really feels like it's set to go that way, Donnie. You know, if there was a script, you'd want to see it play out that way. We've waited a long time to get a matchup like this one, not to pick on the range of the Diamondbacks from what we saw last year, but that didn't move the needle for anyone. Yankees, Dodgers, World Series, this is really as good as it gets with a couple of superstars chasing their first ring.
And if you think it goes seven games, doesn't matter who wins at that point. So if you take a flyer, like just say on the Dodgers, plus 470 to win it in seven, you take a flyer on the Yankees, plus 500 to win it in seven, doesn't matter who wins game number seven, as long as you get there, there's plus money in your pocket. You take a look at the team comparison between these two, both really good ball clubs here. 98 wins on the season for the Dodgers, which is why they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which does include the World Series. The Yankees at 94-68, both equally impressive in the playoffs, a little more so towards the Yankees at 7-2. But the competition, maybe not as tight as what we saw the Dodgers playing at 7-4. And if you're looking at those opening odds to win the World Series, the Dodgers were always a favorite, and they're in the World Series. That was a plus 320 price, but still the Yankees at a 9-1 price. So it was 10-1 or less here. We're not surprised these two teams are here in the World Series, but I'm going to tell you one thing, Dubsy. I'm happy both of these teams are in the World Series. We're going to get great betting opportunities and a lot of excitement as we continue a deep dive into the World Series that starts on Friday right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday night World Series in the City of Angels. The New York Yankees come to town. Ticket prices are $1 billion just to get into the door. Baseball needed this, and I love this. And I'm, as I said again, Dubsy, I'm not a Yankees fan. I'm not a Dodgers fan. I'm a baseball fan. You want to have World Series where, like, the Arizona Diamondbacks show up or the Kansas City Royals? No knock on those franchises, even though, yes, I'm knocking those franchises. But we want the big boys. We want the big payrolls. We want the superstars, Dubsy, to show up in the biggest moments. We win as a fan base, don't we, on this?
Absolutely. I tell you what, we get a few of them in the mix there. Otani, Judge, Mookie Betts, the likes of Garrett Cole for the Pinstripes. I've been waiting a long time for this one. I can't believe I've only got 10 tickets to game one. I cannot give them away. So if you know of anyone, Johnny, that wants to get out there to Chavez Ravine, just let your boy know. But excited. The city's a complete buzz there. I think we're going to see some historic numbers on the viewership side of things as well. I know, obviously, football moves the needle, but for Major League Baseball, for baseball, you know, true fans of the sport, this is as good as it gets. Why'd we have to play 162 games the regular season? The odds makers told us it was going to be about the Yankees and the Dodgers all season long. We should have believed them. Here we are for Friday night.
By the way, a side point here, like back in the day, in like the 90s, growing up in the Northeast here in New York City, they had coined the phrase a dollar in a dream, which means like, hey, play a dollar in the lottery, might become a millionaire, Dubs. The reason I bring this up is, did you see the baseball, the 50-50 baseball that got hit into the crowd? Somebody catches it from Otani, and it went for close to $5 million on that 50-50 ball. I can only imagine, like, hey, bought a ticket to the baseball game in Miami, probably a month and a half in advance at that point. Just want to see my Dodgers play. And you caught that baseball, walked out of the stadium with a $5 million baseball, man. Good for whoever got that. That is legendary status right there.
What are we doing, Donnie? I mean, how much money does one person have to spend, what, $5 million on a baseball. I don't care who hit it or what the feat was. That is a lot of money. But yeah, I mean, what an afternoon, what an evening that was forever courted and just got that monster payday. Can you imagine? You must have quite the collection. You're not just buying some random baseball and stuffing it in the corner of the home office there. You're going to have quite the setup. $5 million, just a bit of loose change there. But it really feels like it's been a special season. And this is a series, Donny, that shapes up to, it brings the theatrics. I really do think we're getting set for a show.
I'm excited about it. Yeah, we're doing it wrong, Dubs. Like, we should be sitting in the outfield, like, just hanging out, maybe having a beer, eating a hot dog, and trying to catch $5 million baseballs here. Impressive stuff. But let's get to the people that are hoping that there's not a lot of $5 million baseballs hit into the stands, Dubsy. That's the starting pitchers coming into it. And by the way, there is a discrepancy on the ERAs between both of these staffs. We start with the Dodgers, say, hey, look at that. Flaherty, name in the game. Walker Buehler, name in the game. Yamamoto comes over as a star. Look at those ERAs, 7.04, 6 even, 5.11. And then, yes, the Dodgers with that payroll are going to have a bullpen game pitching in the World Series. Let's start with the Dodgers. Like, I like the names, but I don't like the results, Dubs, that I've been getting.
No, I've been getting lit up like the old Christmas tree, if you will. Look, Jack Flaherty, he's got plenty of upside, but can be a little spotty, and that's what those numbers are telling us. Yamamoto's looked fantastic. Well, he's looked pretty strong, I should say, since coming back there from injury. But it's Walker Buehler who I'd be a little concerned with. I don't know if he's got the stuff to try and take command of the hill out there going against a potent offense like we're going to get from the Pinstripes. So I think the Dodgers could be a little shaky in this spot. And again, you'd think a stage set like this one look towards the unders. But I do think this could be a series that shapes up to see plenty of runs being scored. And the Dodgers, they're going to have to be very, very careful and very tactical with how they bring in that bullpen.
Sometimes it's just key of how your aces pitch in the biggest moments, right? Gerrit Cole, one of the best pitchers in baseball, 1-0 here, 3.31 ERA. If he can absolutely dominate the way we know he can, just any time he's going to start, which we're expecting. I don't know if it's been released. Maybe Joe Friso can tell us. The starter for game one for the New York Yankees. I know, obviously, we saw Jack Flaherty, but I assume, obviously, it's going to be Gerrit Cole. So Cole versus Flaherty in game number one, certainly an advantage here to the New York Yankees. But pretty soon, we're going to be handicapping those games night-to-night basis here. It gets started this weekend. I love to see it at this point. But if you are giving a nod, like, who are you trusting, Dubsy, starting pitching wise? Is it the Dodgers to bounce back, or you just say, you know what, Gerrit Cole with the Yankees, that's the way I'm going here?
It's going to be Gerrit Cole. I mean, certainly going to have the edge there for the Yankees. I think the bullpen's been really strong for the Dodgers over the last couple of weeks. Is that going to be enough to lean on? Time will tell. Dave Roberts, he's been very bullish with his chances and the way he's been moving his pieces around. But this is going to be a long series, and you're going to have to get the best out of your stuff. If for the Dodgers to win this thing, someone is going to have to step up and be a little more special than what we have seen. Maybe it's Flaherty. Game one coming up on Friday.
Talking about special, how about Judge and Ohtani fading the public next? Where do we go? Come on back to this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.